In the early 1900s, certain companies were off-gassing highly toxic fluoride gases into the atmosphere. The surrounding communities began to get sick. Laws were enacted to compel these corporations to install scrubbers to convert these gases into fluorosilicic acid, still highly toxic but containable. Now these companies had a stockpile of this poison, and there was no affordable way to dispose of it. Lucky for them, one of their major stockholders was also the Secretary of the Treasury, who was responsible for the Public Health Service at the time. And by 1950, the U.S. government began buying this toxic, untreated industrial waste product and dumping it into our drinking water. Reputable studies show that it's causing various cancers and other disease. With the Alexa Pure Pro, you can have clean drinking water and a remedy to this madness. Available now at InfoWarsStore.com.
What's in a name? If that name is Ace Firearms, you've just entered a very expensive business. First, a fully appointed gun shop with all the guns, ammo, and accessories you could possibly imagine. But then you enter the manufacturing facility that is home to Red Alligator Concealment, Militia Arms Customs, and so much more. Ace Firearms is beyond a simple gun shop. This is a totally peerless operation. To find out more, go to acefirearms.com. Ace Firearms. This is only the beginning.
Among Walk the Talk America's partners, Arms Corps may have the most colorful history of them all, but then again, that likely happens when you have a company that's lasted for more than a century. Started in 1905 in the Philippines and expanding operations to right here to Nevada in 1985, Arms Corps offers some of the finest firearms you'll find on the market, from shotguns to 1911s, and from ammunition to a competitive shooting team, Arms Corps offers a lot. But there's something more. Arms Corps is the first manufacturer to print the free and anonymous mental health screenings link offered through Walk the Talk America's website right there on their packaging. If you buy an Arms Corps product, you will not only see our flyer inside, but you may actually see the screenings link printed on the side of the box. Go to armscor.com, that's armscor.com, to find out more about their heritage, their products, and their competitive shooting team. We're proud and thankful to have Arms Corps as a partner.
At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Fusing the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
You've made a serious investment in protecting yourself and your family. You've purchased the gun, the ammunition, the training, and even secured a license to carry in your state. You know the Constitution and don't believe you should have to pay for a right that you already have, as written in the Second Amendment, but you are law-abiding. Now you are considering the legal defense options you should have if you ever have to use a firearm. Self-Defense Fund is a comprehensive litigation membership backing you on appeals, legal expenses, court costs, and more. Up to $1 million per incident and unlimited attorney costs per member. Discover selfdefensefund.com for yourself. Any weapon, any state, any time.
Supply chains are the lifeblood of business. It's time to learn to lead in this in-demand field. The Ohio State University Fisher College of Business offers an online Master of Supply Chain Management degree. This new program builds on their reputation in supply chain management and business education. Each online class blends self-paced live learning and immersive classes. Earn your Master of Supply Chain Management degree in as little as 15 months. Visit go.osu.edu/mscm to learn more. The Ohio State University Fisher College of Business, where principled leaders are created.
We want to take a moment to recognize one of our sponsors, Chattanooga Shooting Supplies, Inc. CSSI was founded in 1977 by two families that had a passion for hunting and the outdoors. That same passion holds true today for the second generation of family members and their 200-plus employees. Own a gun store or range? If so, you understand the importance of two-step distribution to help you meet the demand of your customers. Their mission is to exceed their customers' expectations with a strong service focus from a knowledgeable sales staff, an assortment of trusted and well-known brands, competitive pricing, and timely shipping. With over 50,000 SKUs of shooting and hunting-related products, They are in the business to help customers succeed. Learn more at ChattanoogaShooting.com.
Are you prepared to bug out? Infidel Body Armor and an Army Ranger have produced a high-speed DVD and book to show you how to drive in combat, patrol, and how to survive in combat. Skills you'll need when it hits the fan. Go to DrivenDVD.com. DrivenDVD.com.
Now's your chance to get the last of the Resolution Radio Blood Teams. Only a few left available before we try to do a reorder. This has been a high-selling item, and we really appreciate everyone's support in getting this shirt and showing their pride as well as showing their heritage. Nothing counts more than blood. Get yours today from Resolution Radio. Only $25 plus $5 shipping and handling. It really helps the network improve, and you really get a great product to showcase what you truly believe in. Nothing counts more than blood. Only from Resolution Radio at resolutionrdo.com. Send check, money order, or well-concealed cash to Sonny Thomas at P.O. Box 27, Springboro, Ohio, 45066. That's Sonny Thomas at P.O. Box 27, Springboro, Ohio, 45066. You're listening to Resolution Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
You know, just like physical illness, mental illness can be overcome. We just got to inspire people to believe that.
The mental health community and the firearms industry have spent way too much time running parallel to each other without communicating. It's time we change the narrative and destroy the stigma that we both face.
Walk the Talk America presents Guns and Mental Health, a podcast for firearms owners, clinicians, and the curious public. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. For those of you who are joining us in the live, we apologize for the delay. We had some technical difficulties, and I wish that we had one of those multicolored bar images over the screen to say technical difficulties and with some elevator music playing, but we don't have that, so you just had to sit and wait. And if you're listening to this for the first time and you're not live, you don't know any different anyway. So with us is Paul Santilli, and Mike's here, and I'm here, and Kevin's in the background. And Paul's a clinical social worker from Rhode Island, and he wrote a really cool paper that we somehow got wind of, and I'll let you tell the story. And beyond that, I just invite you to introduce yourself now to everybody and tell us who you are and all that stuff.
Yeah, thank you. Again, I'm honored to be here. I am Paul Santilli over here on Rhode Island, East Coast time. So I wrote this paper called The Utilization of Gun Principles and Gun Handling and How It Can Be Used in Psychotherapy. So I myself am in the military. Currently, I'm in a National Guard setting. And I was doing clinical social work for the VA. And I kept finding a lot of interesting overlaps. And I don't like using the word I, especially when I'm presenting to an audience, because I want kind of a universal truth to come through in what I'm speaking about. But this paper is used, hopefully it will be picked up by a medical journal that finds it to be in their proper scope and what they want to deliver. But I'm here to talk about this paper and hopefully run it through its paces. And that's what I'm here.
Mike sent this over, I digested it very quickly and realized that this was almost identical to what we've been doing for the last 5 years or so since I joined up with WTTA, except you put clearer words to it and made it much more linear in its presentation, which I was super thrilled about. So the idea is, like, we're trying to not only demystify what counseling is to firearms owners, but bring cultural competence to the clinical community so that we don't chase away gun owners when they do seek care. But you've taken this a step further, which is something that we've been wrestling with for a while, which is actually integrating firearm usage into clinical practice. So, you know, we already said that we're a little bit up against it on time. Why don't we just dive in? And I'm going to tee this up by asking, first of all, like, what motivated you to to start such a thing, because it's really well done, and I do hope somebody picks it up. But then also just take us through your writing and explain this structure, this template that you've produced for us.
Sure. So again, so military member, I grew up in a very guns are evil home. but then there was kind of this duality with serving the country is a very honorable and prideful thing to do. But those two things are kind of linked together, right? If you serve in the military, you're going to have some sort of weapons qualification to some degree or another. So then I was like, okay, guns aren't evil. Okay, maybe it's just kind of behaviors of how people tend to use them. So I got into the line of work. And as you're going through schooling to get your professional certifications, you always hear like, oh, use your clinical judgment. You know, make sure you're using evidence-based practices. And I'm like, okay. But then there was always like this like shadowy backhanded element when you're talking about guns and weapons.
Yeah.
And so that kind of struck me as a little odd. So from there, get licensed and I'm doing the job. And a reoccurring theme of counseling was just weapon use, weapon use. And I was like, okay, like I get it. So I was taking the behaviors that people were exhibiting, for example, heart rate, right? And when they're getting ready to pull the trigger or anxiety. And how if they were having a good day at the range versus a bad day at the range. So meeting the clients where they're at, something that's typically said in a clinical setting. I was meeting them where they at, and we were having the conversations of breathing and pulling the trigger versus breathing and have a conversation with a loved one, a family, a friend, someone. And I kind of took those principles and incorporated those into everyday life. And then this paper just kind of resonated, went through many iterations. I had to eliminate all the policy because it was already 20 pages as is, just speaking clinically. But so it was a passion of love, many iterations, and that's kind of what led me to do it.
How long have you been practicing?
So informally under someone else's license, about 10 years. But then once I got my own license, about 3 to 5 years.
So you've been in this almost as long as I have, about 15 years or so. And when did you first start writing this? Because this is the final draft. Well, it's probably not yet the final draft. There's probably some touches to be made. But I mean, we're as close to the end as possible. When did you first start working on it?
About 2 years ago. So a little backstory is I have twins who hate sleeping. So in the middle of or leading into bedtime, after we go through the routine and ritual of bedtime, I would just sit on the floor quietly and I would just jot things down in a notebook. So it was about a paragraph a night, and then eventually it went its way to a Word document and many iterations, and here we are.
For almost 75 years, Strum Ruger & Company Incorporated has been a model of corporate and community responsibility. Their motto, Arms Makers for Responsible Citizens, echoes their commitment to these principles as they work hard to deliver quality and innovative firearms. They offer consumers almost 800 variations of more than 40 product lines across both the Ruger and Marlin brands. And since 2021, Ruger has been a strong supporter of Walk the Talk America in full alignment with this mission and philosophy. We invite you to check out Ruger.com and browse their multiple products and help support our mission along the way. Walk the Talk America thanks Ruger for its continued support of this show and our mission.
So when we break this down, we've got various concepts here. I've got the paper in front of me. If you hear paper jostling, that's what I'm doing. But yeah, like mental health first aid, whole health, CBT, V-codes, behavioral activation, all these things that we use in the clinical setting. People may not have heard of some of these concepts, but you then took every one of them and put gun next to it, which I think is brilliant, because what you're truly doing is you're bridging the gap. We've been saying bridging the gap between firearms culture and mental health culture for years now. And this is the practical application of that. It's like, take a clinical concept, now put gun with it. Walk through for the lay people in the audience why this matters, how it can help them. And we do have clinicians who listen as well. So try to formulate this in a way that's going to be digestible for everybody if they don't want to read a 20-page paper, which they totally can. But help us understand this, right?
Yep. So first is there's so many interchangeable terms. gun, weapon, pistol, rifle, right? So the first thing was just like, what is the basic smooth water that you need to touch on? So I chose the word gun. Now, same thing for the mental health professionals, right? Are you a psychologist? Are you a social worker? Are you a clinician, right? So just coming up with a basic vocabulary that everybody can agree on. Next in professional writing was you had to get rid of a lot of the humor. It's supposed to be dry on purpose, right? So when I use the word aim, there's a full pun intended there, kind of a double-edged sword of, you know, what is the aim or scope of this paper, right? Rolling into introduction, we know that America has a lot of guns and weaponry here. We also know that there are a lot of people who are engaged in mental health treatment, right? So with that, it was, if you just look at those two N numbers of people, you will absolutely have overlay. People who are in counseling, who carry a gun for everyday work, occupation, or for fun, or for safety. So they should not be excluded from mental health counseling. I know there's a large stigma out there. And Jake, I know, you know, I read your bio on the website, and it stuck with me and it resonates with me. So that's kind of the background. Rolling into the, sorry, something's beeping here.
Government office.
Close. Yeah, close it, make it go away. All right, so then we have clinical terms in psychology, psychoeducation, reframing, formation or reinforming already established habits that somebody may have. And again, like you said, I just take the principle and I slap the word gun right next to it. And meeting the client where they're at, if you're talking to somebody about anxiety, for example, they're going to have a level of anxiety coping techniques. So what I did was, again, I simply took what the DSM says anxiety disorder is, ways that individuals can mitigate levels of anxiety, and then applied the gun principles to it. Again, every time you write for a professional paper, I literally feel like you have to like write a sentence like, my name is Paul Santilli, and then proof. Here's my driver's license, right? So there's plenty of references and research to back up what I'm saying and how I said it. And again, knowing that the gun community is a small community, when you look at something like the 10 Commandments of Fire Safety or the 4 Principles of Safe and Effective Handling of Weapons, you know, if one organization says, you know, I think we all agree upon it, but some might just use different words. So if you're a clinician or somebody who's not familiar, again, finding that common definition is crucially important to say like, all right, I might say this, but ultimately I just mean keep the gun pointed downrange. All right, so I don't want to demystify some of the interchangeable terms. So I'll pause there before I jump into some of the diagnoses that I mentioned in the paper, but any questions on what I've said up to this point?
Oh, I saw Mike reaching for his mute button. I thought he was jumping in.
No, I was just going to say, hey, Paul, I'm here. No, you know, for me, this really was fascinating because when I started this organization, I didn't realize how important a therapeutic element of shooting was to so many people. And I've been in the gun industry for a long time. But I never really had anybody like come to me and say like, hey, you know, this is very calming experience for me, you know, because it's counterintuitive to what most people think, you know, shooting a gun is. And I remember, and I just want to share this story before we continue. I remember when I first started the organization, I was so excited to talk to it about anybody. And this lady contacted me through a mutual friend, and I went to lunch with her. And basically what she did was she ran through a scenario of her life where she almost took her own life, and she ended her speech when she was talking to me about why she connected with Walk the Talk America. With, if I would have had a firearm, I would be dead by right now. I wouldn't be here telling you the story, which at first I kind of was taken back a little bit because I was kind of like, okay, is this an anti-gun? You know, are you now you're going to hit me with the anti-gun thing? No, but what she really resonated was the fact that I kept talking about the stigma of mental health, and her whole thing was she wouldn't go get help, you know, because she didn't want to get fired from her job. But it was kind of crazy because she says, you know, if I had a firearm, I wouldn't be here today to tell you the story. Later on that night, I go home and I'm talking to one of my friends who's a well-known, you know, he's a well-known writer and YouTuber in the firearms industry who served many, many years, was in Afghanistan. And I was telling him about Walk Talk America, and it gave me chills. I remember this because he told his story of coming home and having PTSD, and he goes, and I'm going to tell you right now, Mike, if I didn't have my gun and the range, I wouldn't be here today to tell you this story. And he didn't even know she said that. I didn't tell him the story. So I was like, okay, this is the universe telling me like you're on to something here. So I just wanted to tell you that I appreciate the paper, and I really think it's cool that somebody put it down like in a paper, because it is very important. I do a lot of events where I have to tell people that's very therapeutic, and they're like, really? And I'm like, yes, believe it or not.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And I want people who may see something like this topic as a naysayer, I want them to try to poke holes in the theory behind what I'm trying to get across. Right. Cause if you truly have something that's a universal truth, it will stand on its own two feet. Now, just because it works for one person doesn't mean it's going to work for every person, right? That's where the evidence-based practices and all that stuff comes into later. But yeah, I've talked to plenty of guys and girls. It's like, I'm grumpy. My husband, my wife, they made me go to the range because when they're using the principles that they learned, they come back, they feel lighter, they're happier. So yeah, it's absolutely relevant to day-to-day life.
Are you familiar with Johnny Pirelli or
negative.
Any of his work?
Sorry.
So Pirelli, we often refer to as like the godfather of guns and mental health, because he came out with the very first publication. I'm staring at it right here, called The Behavioral Science of Firearms. It's like a 600-page literature review for all intent and purpose. And it's really well done. It's groundbreaking in that it was really the first, and the reason behind it, you can listen to his interview on our show from a couple of years back. But the short story is, he's a psychologist in New Jersey and was asked to be doing these gun evals for carry permits or whatever it is. And he's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And he consulted with a bunch of his peer colleagues, supervisors, mentors, couldn't find anybody with any literature whatsoever. So he's like, well, I guess it's up to me to write something. So he did. And now he's got another one called Firearms and Clinical Practice that just came out also, also very well written. And it's for the practitioner rather than the general public. He now has a 10-hour CE training. It's basically a cultural competence, very similar to what we offer on the website. And now you're adding this to the dialogue. And I want to point out something in here. You did a very good job of writing the way that you said, which is, and I agree with all that. Truth should stand on its own, irrespective of the person delivering it or the post-nominal letters that they carry or whatever certificates are hanging on the wall. Right. So I think for so long, our firearms community has had so little to point to that we couldn't even enter into the practitioner community to give them this information because nobody knew how. And with your work, Pirelli's work, what we're trying to do, and now I'm actually really proud to say that Andrew Hartz, who has also been on the podcast, he's founder of Open Therapy Institute out of New York. He's put together a series of trainings with a bunch of really smart people, and I'm glad to be included in that, to do more continuing education on quote unquote, you know, forbidden topics or, you know, topics that practitioners often self-censor. And I'm going to cover firearms, but I want to highlight something in here. You put limitations, right? There's no other publications for this data set. And that's really true for all intent and purpose. We can find all sorts of research on firearm violence, right? So-called gun violence. And we don't have anything that speaks to the clinical integration of somebody's favorite hobby or interest. And that's exactly what we should be doing as practitioners. we should be taking the people, the patients, you know, we call them patients at my agency, the clients who come through the door, and we ask them, well, what do you do that makes you well? And if they're afraid to say shooting because they're self-censoring because they've got a stigma about it, or our profession has helped perpetuate that stigma, we're not going to help that individual. And we end up causing more harm than good. Now, you overlay that with some of the policy issues like red flag laws, and people are even more skittish now to come in. So you say, you know, the article has certain limitations that need to be addressed. It doesn't cover the financial aspects, right? And all that stuff. That's all true. But I think until this point in time, and I'll say broadly, it's like the last 3 to 5 years, we didn't even talk about it. So now at least we can start talking about what gets in the way. So if somebody says, you know, I really like exercise and working out, that makes me happy, but I can't because my knee. Okay, well, now I, at least as a practitioner, am informed about what makes this person tick. And I won't just go prescribing bike riding if they can't ride a bike. But if I don't know that they love shooting, and I also don't know that shooting has a therapeutic capacity to it, I'm just going to be talking in circles. We're going to be on a treadmill, and we're not getting right to some of the very appropriate prescriptions that we could offer somebody. And I love working backwards in something like this. So I'm going to read your conclusion. In conclusion, the principles of mental health practice can have a positive impact on the gun community. Of course, we all believe that. By broadening their practice and gaining a deeper understanding of their clients' community, mental health professionals can effectively promote self-care and adapt clinical skills to be more applicable in treatment. When these two communities collaborate, the potential for success ranges from individual to societal levels. And that's the key. We don't know what the number is, somewhere between 80 and 130 million gun owners, right, in America, something like that. And that is approximately a third of the population. Now, if you augment that to people who own guns and live with them, we're well over 50% by most of the metrics that I've seen. We cannot afford as clinicians to be ignorant of half of the population that would walk through our door. So if we start integrating this into our clinical practice, we can have population level impact, needle moving impact. And, you know, as much as we bemoan the Dr. Vivek Murthy coming out and saying, you know, gun violence is a public health crisis, that's the discussion that has to happen, but it has to happen in the individual level first, right? One-on-one in the office. So talk a little bit about that and like what you're seeing and how you apply this individually in your daily work life.
Among Walk the Talk America's partners, Arms Corps may have the most colorful history of them all, but then again, that likely happens when you have a company that's lasted for more than a century. Started in 1905 in the Philippines and expanding operations to right here to Nevada in 1985, Arms Corps offers some of the finest firearms you'll find on the market, from shotguns to 1911s, and from ammunition to a competitive shooting team. Arms Corps offers a lot, but there's something more. Arms Corps is the first manufacturer to print the free and anonymous mental health screenings link offered through Walk the Talk America's website, right there on their packaging. If you buy an Arms Corps product, you will not only see our flyer inside, but you may actually see the screenings link printed on the side of the box. Go to armscor.com, that's armscor.com, to find out more about their heritage, their products, and their competitive shooting team. We're proud and thankful to have Arms Corps as a partner.
Sure. So, and Mike, I do want to come back to the safety piece, because obviously you can't talk about guns without talking about safety, and same thing in the clinical realm. But Jake, to your point first, so I think in the gun community, right, we often hear about the four boxes, the election box, the ammo box, the soap box, right? And then we have where we live, and we have, you know, our community and inside the walls of our home, and then we have outside and the larger community. So I wanted there to be a place for like medical discussion, right? So if it works for one and it works for all, great. And then, sorry, the gerbil fell off the wheel. Give me a second.
It's Monday. Gerbil is tired.
Yes. what do I got? We got conclusions, limitations, discussions.
I love these brain farts. And it's nice to know that I'm not the only one who has them.
A million thoughts all racing at once. I'm sorry. I totally lost
That's
my
okay.
train of thought.
I try to pick you up there. Oh, it'll come back. Let's go to the safety thing. You're talking about putting safety in the conversation.
Yes, please. All right. So for either the clinician or the user, all right, safety is paramount. We know that there's a suicide problem in America. There's a lot of different varieties to why that is. So if you're a clinician and you hear your client say, I like guns, don't be scared of that. They can use risk management versus risk avoidant, lean into that with safety as the backdrop. So I'm actually flipping to my safety page. So again, all the gun industries out there, GOA, I'm sorry, I don't want to say anyone to fear of eliminating the others. All right, so we have our commandments of fire safety. We can talk about safety and firearm use. We can talk about range safety officers. We can talk about storage that works for you in your household. As a clinician, when you hear someone talking about harm reduction or eliminating harm altogether, guns can be extremely safe. I know that there are, this is more in the, you know, central part of America, but there's a lot of high schools that have trap leagues. They can apply for colleges and scholarships to go to trap meets and to do all these different types of shootings. And a lot of times there is zero injuries. So if you take safety, I'm not even talking like end of life safety, but just everyday safety. Compare that against soccer, twisted ankles. Compare that against football, concussions. Handling a gun can be very safe. So don't be scared of that. And if you're a clinician, lean into it. It's okay. Other things with safety, and again, many of the gun organizations echo this, you know, don't use a firearm under the influence of alcohol or prescription drugs, right? I think these are both common sense things that if you're just having an off day, maybe reschedule your trip to the range. There's a level of maturity that comes into gun usage. All of these things go into that safe and appropriate gun use. And again, if here in America, you turn 18 and you're considered adult by every single lens of the world, including legal, be an adult, be mature. And if you want to do these things, it's perfectly safe and ethical to do them. We just ask that you do them safely.
I think that's
if you have questions about safety, sorry, one last thought. If you have any questions about safety, one of the things I love about the community is if you're fumbling around or if you're cautious or like having a thought, ask somebody. There are so many willing participants to be like, oh, well, let me show you how to do this safely or how to do that safely. It's not like we have a treasure chest of secrets. We want to share the information.
No. That's great. And I was going to say, one of the things I think stands in our way as practitioners is the way that we're trained. And I don't know how your education is, but I've rubbed elbows with enough people across the country and around the world actually now who've gone through some sort of psychiatric training. And it seems to me that our discipline stands very unique against the backdrop of the rest of the medical world in that we've been told to be overly fearful of all sorts of things, not the least of which are lawsuits, right? We're told, like, you know, don't do all these things. Don't be on social media. Don't produce articles. Don't go on interviews. Don't. And I was even told, bizarre as it sounds, don't have alcohol in public because one of your clients may see you and that will create a trigger effect that will lapse them back into non-sobriety or something. It's like, it's so crazy how protectionist we become, and to fear the lurking lawsuits or the licensing board coming out, you know, coming after us or whatever. And it's simply not true. I mean, if it were true, our liability insurance would be way higher than it is. So I think we're programmed to be afraid of things. And we're certainly just by nature afraid of things we are not familiar with. And when we don't get training on the unfamiliar topics like firearms, then we just tend to avoid them or we say don't. And that comes out as a very off-putting message. I think it's very deleterious to the profession. It keeps people away from care. And what you're saying aligns very much with what I've been shrieking for years now, which is I'm trying to work myself out of a job. I want this information out. It doesn't do any good locked up in my head. We don't have a treasure trove of secrets. I want to pull the curtain back and teach everybody what I learned through graduate school or whatever and empower people to stay out of my agency. I mean, if I can work myself out of a job, then I'll be really happy because everybody will be healthy. This is essentially what you're saying to the practitioners, but also to the gun community. It's like, hey, use what you already know about going to the range, being tactical with your competitions, all that breath control stuff, the self-awareness, implement it in other areas of your life, not just with your favorite skill set or hobby. And how's the reception been? Are people receiving this? Because my experience is gun community loves it. Clinical community is very cold.
Gun community agree. The sigh of relief. It's almost like when you share that criteria A trauma for the first time with somebody who's not going to be negligent with that information, right? So that sigh of relief, I see it. And it is great. Not on the gun communities, or sorry, on the clinical side. I remember going, getting towards the end of academic year, and I'm like, oh yeah, I just need to go to the range, right? I need to hear that steel, that plink sound, and just bring a smile to my face. And you would have thought that I said the most atrocious thing. Like, I turned into an 18-headed mystical creature, and I was like, it's okay. But like, the inability of people to even want to dialogue with me was a little bit shocking. So I just brushed it off. I said, hey, everyone else got their own things going on today. Yeah. And later on I did revisit it with some of the more friendly peers that I had. I extended the invitation out. I think like every proper gun owner should do is invite a friend day. And I say, listen, I'm not just going to bring you out. I do it in three phases. Phase one is we talk about the laws of fire safety. Step number two is we're going to come to my house, no live ammo anywhere around. We're going to show you mechanics, how to clear a safety, and just talk about it. And then step three is we're actually going to go to the range. Now, some people live in a very soundbite society, and that's too many steps. They just want to do the thing. But I promise them that if they stick with me and they actually go to the range, they'll have an amazing experience. So that's what I've done with friends, family, coworkers, and they love it. They absolutely love it.
How many clinical colleagues have you done that with?
Not enough. How many have I invited? Greater than 50. How many have actually took me up on the offer? Less than 5.
That's disappointing. It's disappointing.
So clinically, we use the change model, right? So the ice cube, you have to melt it and then, do what you want to do with it and then refreeze it. I got one guy right now who's truly on the cusp. He's like, I talked to my wife, we're all for it. And I'm like, oh, you're so close. Like, but again, you want to be a helper, not a hindrance. You don't want to be a nuisance. It has to be on their time. But you do. You see it when they finally do it, they enjoy it.
Yeah, it's disappointing to me because we get browbeat with so many other cultural competencies. And the exhortation is always the same. Go spend time in that community. Whatever the community is, whatever the population is that you need to understand better. You're not going to get it out of a book. You got to go spend time with it, right? We truly meet them where they are, whether it's people in poverty or teenagers or a school setting or any of the many minority communities that have labels attached to them. And firearms is no different, yet we don't hear that messaging about the gun community, even though in spite of all the overwhelming statistics that suggest that they're way more common than people want to acknowledge, we just don't hear it. It's crazy to me. But,
By now, that wireless technology like cell phones do, in fact, pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs. While you're waiting, drop by our Confederate Corner for a free cup of coffee and good conversation. Remember, there are no strangers here, just friends who haven't met yet. Dixie Republic, we're not just a roadside attraction, we're a destination for our people. For more information, visit DixieRepublic.com.
You're listening to Resolution Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
We want to take a moment to recognize one of our sponsors, Chattanooga Shooting Supplies, Inc. CSSI was founded in 1977 by two families that had a passion for hunting and the outdoors. That same passion holds true today for the second generation of family members and their 200-plus employees. Own a gun store or range? If so, you understand the importance of two-step distribution to help you meet the demand of your customers. Their mission is to exceed their customers' expectations with a strong service focus from a knowledgeable sales staff, an assortment of trusted and well-known brands, competitive pricing, and timely shipping. With over 50,000 SKUs of shooting and hunting-related products, they are in the business to help customers succeed. Learn more at ChattanoogaShooting.com.
And that's a good segue into the kind of the CBT with the gun aspect. So for the non-clinician, CBT is cognitive behavioral therapy, right? And it's truly, how does somebody get their value system, their beliefs? Sometimes it can be religion. Sometimes it can be instilled with them through various ethos or families. One of the common truths that I often talk about, and I never get any pushback about this, is evil exists in the world. Right? Whether it's purposeful evil, or whether it's somebody else is just having a bad day, like evil exists in the world. If you are able to defend yourself against evil, whether it's home robbery or assault or any of the plethora of bad things that are out there, yeah, you're still going to follow up with actions and calling 911 and doing those things. But if you can handle those things on your own, that can be a great place of self-fulfillment, encouragement, empowerment, again, all terms that we use in a clinical setting. So when I have those conversations with people about, are you even open to going to the range with me? I am absolutely having discussions about their beliefs, where they come from, how they got there. And that itself can be its own, you know, 10 session discussion.
Totally.
Yeah, so I want to kind of circle back to you said like the gun side takes really well to what you're doing. Now, is that, do you mean gun owners or are you talking about like gun industry? Because I know how we met is through Freddie at Ammoland. He passed me your information. They took a pass on, I think probably, I don't know if it's publishing your article or having you on their platform. But when I saw it, and Freddie was right, it was right up our alley, the Walk the Talk America alley. But how have you shopped it around to any other gun outlets to see what they thought of what you were saying?
What I'm doing with this, with the exception of the medical journals, everything that I'm discussing here today is usually in one-on-one or group settings, defined as 12 or less. I would be open and willing to have those conversations with larger outlets, but a lot of this is very much where the rubber hits the road and it's in the clinical office.
Okay. Now it makes sense. It's just, you know, it was, like I said, it was kind of out of left field when the email came through, and it was absolutely fascinating for what Jake and I do on a daily basis. But, you know, I was just wondering how, you know, sometimes I think Ammoland and some of the other outlets have trouble still understanding what Jake and I are doing with Walk the Talk America.
You know what I mean? It's tough to condense this into a digestible summary for print. I think even with our one pager that we tried handing out years ago, it was like too much. Right. It's like, well, what do you do? And then, and Mike still has stories. What one just popped up like a, just a couple of 3 weeks ago or so. He had a conversation with somebody he's known for a really long time. And the person said, I had no idea how comprehensive Walk the Talk America is. It's like, I know. And we don't, that's our struggles. We don't know how to concisely present this. Now imagine doing that with the clinical world, right? It's like, hey, guns are safe. You can use them in treatment. They're like, you're out of your mind.
Mind
go blown. Away. I've already made my mind up. I already have my beliefs, right?
I didn't go to school for this long to be sued and lose my license, right?
Right. Yeah, all that.
Right. And I can't remember who said it earlier, but the conversation about like, oh, I didn't want to get treatment because, you know, fear for my job, whether it's military or whatnot. So the DSM, the Diagnostics and Statistics, tongue-tied manual, common language that you'll always see in that is social or occupational, right? Does this impact PTSD, anxiety? Does it impact social or occupational situations? In the gun community, if you want to go shoot by yourself and kind of isolate, again, in a healthy way, you can do that. If you want it to be part of a larger group, you can do that too. I can only think about the tournaments, the fundraisers that go on to help other communities. So again, I love it. Shifting down, going into whole health, right? And it's hard not to get into the weeds because if you do that, a 20-page paper is going to turn into a 100-page paper in the blink of an eye. So again, to kind of zoom out for a second, right, for the clinicians, if you're working with a teenage population, veteran, law enforcement, first responders, or again, anybody, if it is clinically relevant to the needs of that client, find where this is appropriate and do it. I'll jump to the back, my chart. So again, some organizations are open-ended treatment. Some want to see just, you know, 8 to 12 sessions and then termination. So as a provider, you have to know how this works for you. So I'm a simple man. I like basic math, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20. I can add that way. So I took 10 sessions and I broke it down. So much like I do with my family and friends, before we even get to the range, yeah, there it is. Beautiful. So mental health on the left side, gun skills on the right side, 1 through 10. So administration, overview, and checklist, right? I have a checklist for leaving my house, keys, wallet, cell phone, right? If you're going to work, do you have your lunch? Do you have gas in the car to get there? Same things apply at a gun range. Are you indoor or are you outdoor? Do you have your eyes and ear protection? Jump down to number 2, psychoeducation, ground rules, terminology. I think we need a universal vocabulary and definition. So this way, when we're talking about things, we're not getting lost. When you say something, you mean something. So taking those same principles to the gun community is nomenclature, tear down, build up, safety commands. Regardless of what you're doing in your stall, if you hear somebody say, knock it off, cease fire, you need to know how to respond. Same thing in life, right? If somebody gets into a car accident and there's a police officer out directing traffic around it, you need to know what that means and how to respond to it. Again, I know we're up against the clock, so sorry if I start talking faster. One of the limitations is I did not talk about distances with shooting, right? So we know that 7 yards, a lot of the FBI studies say, you know, when gun engagements occur, they're typically at the 7 yards. But again, if you are a hunter and you might be doing some long range shooting, 7 yards is a stone's throw away. You have to know what is appropriate for your client. You have to know your limitations as well as theirs. Triggers. Sorry, pun intended. Right? So clinically, triggers.
Puns.
If an individual may have PTSD and the smell, the indoor gun ranges especially, gunpowder, recoil, maybe you can still use some of the principles with firearms, but maybe switch it into archery, okay? Just because you have to make modifications doesn't mean you're throwing the baby out with the bathwater. A lot of the principles still apply. Larger community, expanding the community, And again, different types of shooting. I could say pistol range, hunting, paper targets, steel targets, with movement or stationary. It's such a diverse world out there. And for the individuals, a lot of the clinicians who don't know about gun shooting, there's a whole world out there. So make sure you know what your client wants to do.
If you're a firearms owner, and especially if you carry concealed, we invite you to enroll in a membership with our partner, the United States Concealed Carry Association, at uscca.com. The USCCA is more than 700,000 Americans from every faith, political stance, and walk of life, spanning multiple demographics. They provide life-saving education and industry-leading training, some of which comes in the form of our firearms and mental health videos that we have recently produced and which will be made available to the membership over the next 12 months. We recommend that you obtain self-defense liability insurance available through Delta Defense and the USCCA so that if you find yourself in an act of lawful self-defense, you will be prepared for what happens before, during, and after that incident. With the common mission of saving lives, Walk the Talk America is proud to partner with the USCCA and Delta Defense, and we invite you to check out all they have to offer at uscca.com.
I think that part's really overwhelming to most people too. And you know, I've said this before, a lifelong gun owner, didn't really get into the culture until I joined WTTA. And then when I started going to my first few, I need to get back into this actually, it's really enjoyable. My first indoor pistol leagues, I was intimidated. And I mean, I've been doing this long enough that I don't get intimidated in most things. Most things I go into with a pretty open mind, presuming that I don't know much. But I was intimidated by what I saw other people carrying, using, discussing, and even that list that you just rattled off with movement, without movement, distance, close proximity, you know, all that stuff, steel, non-steel. It's an overwhelming diversity within that community that I think can shock enough people into just saying, I don't want to go there. And my invitation or my exhortation, I guess, to the clinicians is start somewhere. And it's okay if you don't know everything, because my experience with the firearms community is most people are not proprietary with their information. They're not selfish. They're not looking to be egotistical or embarrass the newcomer. Most of them, I mean, the vast overwhelming majority that I've encountered will take you under their wing and say, hey, let me show you some things. It can be overwhelming. It can be intimidating. Just walking into a gun shop being like, if you're a novice or a completely ignorant person altogether, going into a firearms retail store, forget the range aspect. It's staggering what hangs on the walls and sits behind the cases and stuff like that. It's crazy. And I look at that as an opportunity to learn. I love learning and I love growth, but I understand it's also very scary. And if you're not used to that, or if you've got a head full of misinformation that says, you know, guns are bad, guns are dangerous, guns are violent, avoid guns, boo, hiss, you're just not going to go there at all. And that does your patients, your customers, your clients a disservice, because you can't afford to be ignorant of this if it can be therapeutically beneficial.
Are you familiar with the Parkinson's shooter? Did you know who that is?
I know what Parkinson's is, but not the shooter.
Okay. Yeah. It's really interesting because some of the things you're covering are some of the, so Dave is he's a competition shooter. He has Parkinson's, obviously. He goes by Parkinson's Shooter on Instagram. But I remember having a discussion with him and what he discovered. And it's crazy because when he was telling me this, I was thinking, wow, like here someone has found something that has helped his Parkinson's. Like when he shoots, he doesn't have it, right? Like all his symptoms go away, like because of the focus, the timing, the breathing, all the things that you're covering in here. And I remember I'd ask him, and this is a few years ago, so I'd have to probably check in and see how he's doing. But I remember thinking, wow, what a tough thing he's up against. Like he has this, why can't this be implemented, even if it's in a video game style for people with Parkinson's? This story should be more popular. Sure. To me, I'm like thinking like this should be like on you know, news networks where they're talking about this type of therapy works. And I think this is very much in the same vein in the things that you're saying, like when you actually read the paper.
So that wasn't one of my one of the scopes of the diagnoses, but I will say, similar to what you just said, I know that there's a lot of adaptive equipment for this. So whether somebody has Parkinson's or a loss of a limb, if you want to talk about a society that truly wants other people to be able to continue to do what they enjoy doing, what they're finding with the neurological and the brain and the focus and the alpha waves and beta waves, all the principles that go into shooting, whether you have Parkinson's or if you have a physical injury, it's all here. But just one guy and some pen and paper, I can't cover everything, but I would love to do more, but baby steps.
Yeah, but this is a really important conversation to have, and we got to keep having it, and we got to keep augmenting it. And I think that the next steps, if there are some, you got to get this published for sure, because that legitimizes it in whoever's mind it needs legitimizing. But beyond that, I think we need to go back to the professional associations. I'm a little crispy. I'm a little frustrated and a little bit burned out. But we got to go back to the professional associations with some insistence that this become required training. We have to. If people want to get serious about stopping unfortunate outcomes with firearms, including suicides, which we know comprise, 58% of the pie chart, 58 to 62, depending on the year, and it goes up or down based on geography, they have got to hybridize that thought with the acknowledgement that guns are real and they're not going to go away. We can't keep walking down this third rail, pretending that two mutually exclusive ideas are going to coexist. They're not mutually exclusive. We have tools now. We have evidence-based research in front of us. We've got Pirelli. We've got practical applications. We've got to start moving the needle on getting this into clinicians' hands. And then also talking to the gun owners and saying, hey, look, vet your clinician well, that's fine, but please get help. And you're not going to get chased off all the time. So building out directories like WTTA's, 2A friendly provider directory is going to help some. Certainly we got to go back to our professional associations though. And if they're not interested, we may have to just do parallel economies with Open Therapy Institute or, whoever it is that's providing this stuff, because people are dying and they don't have to be.
Yeah. Yeah, so we'll see where this falls with some of the journals that I've applied to. Some are very polite in saying that this is not in their scope, and then they provide me a reference, and I follow up with that reference. But I'll keep trying. If there's an avenue that I haven't thought of, I'm open. If there's a research team out there that wants to, maybe put some of this to practice, I will make myself available. It's something I'm truly passionate about for various amounts of reasons.
I have some contacts too that I can ping people, really good people I've met through X, Twitter, that might be able to help you. So I'll talk with you offline and make some connections, because I get that. That's frustrating. It's not in our scope. What a bunch of crap. Like, really? Right. Saving lives isn't in your scope? Really? Okay. Right. So that's probably a good place to end before I get on one of those four boxes, which is my soapbox, and start ranting and become stabby. How can people reach you if they want to?
Yeah. So my journal email is just psantilli271@gmail.com. Right now I work for the Rhode Island National Guard. But depending on how they want to reach me or what the topic they want to reach me on, I can be found probably easiest. Sorry, that was a long, convoluted answer. Email me. And then depending on the topic or whatever we need to discuss, we can figure out more better ways to make that happen.
Are you on the socials? Do you do the socials?
I'm not.
Okay. Never mind. So yeah. psantilli271@gmail.com.
Yep. Nope. My wife is my... handles all that. If there's something I need to know, she'll show me.
Good for you. We could all probably take a lesson from that. Well, that's probably appropriate ending. So thanks for joining us. Sorry about the technical glitch in the beginning. Life happens, whatever. It's a free podcast. Get what you pay for. So
if you guys want to follow up in the future, again, this doesn't have to be a one and done, or if you're saying, ah, that guy's full of smoke, that's fine too. But yeah, thanks for having me on.
No, you're definitely not. I think we'd be more interested in probably educational conversations and some sort of contribution to teaching. But maybe that's just me, and we can do that offline also. But cool. On behalf of our Walk the Talk of America family and all of you who support us, please share this around so that we continue making Earth better, as Mike likes to say. And we appreciate Kevin holding it down. He's on the screen, but he's sort of behind the scenes today. So thanks, Paul. Appreciate you. And we'll be in touch. On behalf of everybody who makes this possible, we wish you all great mental wellness. Bye-bye.
Guns and Mental Health is a Freshcast Media production. For more information, visit freshcastmedia.com.
You're listening to Resolution Radio.
Radio. Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
We fought. We learned. We struggled.
We won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
My brothers, my sisters, I bring you a message of solidarity, a call to action, and a demand for adherence to duty of an Aryan resurgence and ultimately total Aryan victory. We have broken the chains of Jewish thought. We know not the meaning of the word mine, it is ours. Our race, the totality of our people. 10 hearts, one beat. 100 hearts, one beat. 10,000 hearts, one beat. We are born to fight and to die and to continue the flow of our people. Onward we will go, onward to the stars, high above the mud of yellow, black, and brown. So kinsmen, duty calls. The future is now. If months from now you have not yet fully committed yourself to the alliance, and you have in effect not only betrayed your race, you have betrayed yourself. So stand up like men and drive the enemy into the sea. Stand up like men and swear a sacred oath upon the green graves of our sires that you will reclaim what our forefathers discovered, explored, conquered, settled, built, and died for. Stand up like men and reclaim our soil. Kinsmen, arise. Look towards the stars and proclaim our destiny. Defeat never, victory forever.